I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think, like, right out of the gate, like, I'm super confident, you know? But I'm also like an idiot, which is just, I mean, it's a brutal combination. But, I mean, the good news is, I get a big enough thump on my head, I can change, you know? I can learn. I can crawl forward. Listen, I guess what I'm trying to say in a really stupid roundabout way is thank you.
Thank me?
Yeah.
For
giving my head the biggest thump of its life 2 years ago. I needed it. It's changed my life. And now I'm crawling forward. Slowly. I just wonder sometimes, you know, if some other girl had given me a proper thump before we met, would things have been different? Like, if we were meeting together the first time right now, part of me, I don't know, part of me thinks that we would have made it.
Steve.
Remember the dream I told you about? About the Winnebago, about seeing the country with my six little nuggets. It's all true. Every last word. But I left one part out. It's the most important part. And you're there. You've always been there.
Stranger, danger, talking stranger things. Together, forever, we're loving stranger things. It's Stranger Things forever. Rewatching season 4 from the start to the finish. It's Stranger Things forever. Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes. Stranger danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
Good morning, stranger friends, and welcome back to another morning edition of Stranger Things Forever, where today we are talking about part 3 of chapter 9, The Piggyback. Today we will be covering minutes 20 to 30. And before we get there, because I only have a little while before I need to start work, so I'm not going to waste any time, but I did type in Stranger Things into Google News. And I have to tell you, most of this stuff is fairly, you know, nonsense. It's mostly nonsense. With Stranger Things, Netflix turned Hollywood upside down. This is from something called Northeastern Global News. I don't know what that is. Business Insider. David Harbour is in a PR pickle ahead of Stranger Things. Yeah, we've touched that. We don't care about that anymore. Well, not that it's not important, but we don't care about it as far as the show is concerned. BuzzFeed. The Stranger Things cast reveals what they took from the set. Who cares? Stranger Things cast then and now. Who cares? Like, we've seen all these things. Millie Bobby Brown. We talked about her yelling at someone on the red carpet. Again, nothing big. The only thing that popped up, and it's the second thing. The first thing in the news is Millie Bobby Brown yelling, "You smile." Again, not news. But the second thing is Stranger Things bike ride to take over Melrose Avenue for one day next week. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Los Angeles, if you're out in Los Angeles listening to this, Los Angeles will get a chance to step into the world of Stranger Things as the city prepares for a large-scale 80s-inspired street takeover tied to the show's fifth and final season. According to the official Netflix website, the streamer is teaming up with Ciclavia? I don't know. They're teaming up with someone for Stranger Things 5, One Last Ride, an immersive bike, skate, and walk-friendly event set for Sunday, November 23rd, along with a car-free stretch of Melrose Avenue. The event covers 4 miles between Vermont Ave and Fairfax Ave. Ooh, I don't know anything about those roads. With no official start point or end, fans can join anywhere along the route, though the main stage will be set up at Fairfax Hub at Melrose and Fairfax. The program runs from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. with stage details to be announced. Interesting. I will put a full link to this in the show notes. This is from KTLA, which is a network news station out in Los Angeles. So I knew they were doing these bike rides all over the place. What's interesting is I didn't realize that you can also walk. It seems like it's walker-friendly, too. Nothing like that close to me here in the Boston, New England area, unfortunately. But if you are out in L.A. on Sunday, November 23rd, that seems like kind of a fun thing. And there's a stage set up, so this seems like there's going to be more involved. Definitely worth checking out if you are in the area. All right, that's pretty much it. So let's not waste any more time. Let's enjoy this kind of dark and scratchy voice that I have this morning. How you doing? And let's jump in to the next chapter of the final chapter of Stranger Things 4, The Piggyback. All right, so this 10 minutes seems like it's another kind of 10 minutes of prepping. You know, like we're getting ready for some pretty incredible things to happen. We're not quite there yet, but we do get some cool moments and we get some really nice character moments, mainly from Steve. But we jump into, we're back at Surfer Boy Pizza in Nevada and the guy's like, no more pies tonight, man. Argyle, thankfully, speaks perfect dude. Like it is a universal language. And he's like, it's all right, my dude, we're not here for the tasty pies. And I love that he just explains the whole thing. He's like, we got this weird girl behind me. She needs a tub with a bunch of salt so that we can enhance her psychic powers so she can save the world from this super bad dude. But to make the salty tub, we require your kitchen. And he doesn't freak out. He's like, I was supposed to meet Chad at the Taco Bell. But thankfully, Jonathan comes through by tempting this guy with the one thing that apparently is more enjoyable than Taco Bell, and that is weed. I guess California weed? Like you think, oh, weed, I guess weed from California is, especially back then, I don't know how it is now. I don't know how it is then. It is more powerful, stronger, better. I don't know, but it seems to work. So they give him a joint. He goes outside to partake, which I think is the terminology. And they gear up inside. He's like, this is the first mind fight ever held in a pizza dough freezer. Pretty rad. So they're emptying out this freezer. They need to unplug it as well because you don't want that water to freeze at all. It's going to be cold enough for 11 in there. Let's let it come down a little bit to room temperature. And they start emptying the freezer. And my first thought is, like, are they going to put a liner in there to make it waterproof? But I guess freezers are waterproof. And for the next few minutes, we jump back and forth between the prepping in Surfer Boy Pizza and the prepping in the Upside Down Hawkins. Eddie and Dustin are they're grabbing a bunch of fencing and equipment because everything that is in the real world is also in the Upside Down. it's a little older. Thankfully, it's not so old that Eddie, you know, has his guitar still, but everything is there. Like, apparently everything works because they're able to fortify the Munson trailer, adding fencing and all kinds of stuff, just putting armor on this trailer, basically, while Mike and Will are working on filling the tank in Surfer Boy Pizza, and Jonathan is adding salt at Surfer Boy Pizza into the tank. He's adding the salt. The other kids are working on filling the tank. Mike goes and gets sunglasses. And, of course, Argyle is busy making pizza. And I'm like, why not? People got to eat. All this driving around, all this working, all this prepping, it would give me an appetite. Also, not doing any of that would still give me an appetite, and I would want to eat a pizza. But we don't revisit the Pizza Pals again for the rest of this 10 minutes. We stay in Hawkins with Eddie and Dustin. They're admiring the work they did on the trailer, and then Eddie's like, now comes the fun part. They go inside into Eddie's room, and he's like, Jesus. It's like she was destined for an alternate dimension. What do you say, Henderson? Are you ready for the most metal concert in the history of the world? And Dustin's like, is that a rhetorical question? And Eddie grabs his guitar off the shelf. It is a beautiful, like, rock metal guitar. BC Rich. BC Rich is an American brand of acoustic and electric guitars that originated all the way back in the 70s by a guitar shop owner, Bernardo Chavez Rico. I did not know that. I knew BC Rich forever, and I don't think I even knew there was an actual BC Rich. Like, I've seen these guitars. I play guitar. I've seen these guitars, especially this kind of it's a Warlock guitar. That's the guitar that Eddie's playing, and it just screams, like, you can't pick up that guitar and play John Denver or Crosby, Stills, and Nash. You need to pick up that guitar and play metal. The Warlock guitar came out in 1981, and it's been played by Mick Mars and Nikki Sixx. That's the bass version. Motley Crue from Motley Crue. Lita Ford, Paul Stanley from Kiss. Slash played one for early on. I think there's a shot of him playing one in the 2000s too. Kerry King from Slayer. Just a ton of people have played this guitar, this type of guitar. It just looks like an axe. It looks like it could be a weapon. You know, they call guitars axes. This one, not quite the actual axe. Like, Gene Simmons had a bass that looked like an axe, but this thing just looks like some sort of, like, medieval weapon that you could use to fight off evil. And that's pretty much exactly what it's going to be used for. So we stay in the Upside Down, but we jump over to the other kids, Nancy, Robin, and Steve. Robin is going on and on about afraid they're being lost. She thinks they've seen this tree before. And it's almost like Nancy and Steve are like the parents. They're like, oh, don't worry, Robin, it's going to be fine. Like, oh, you know, she gets lost. I told you, she's a little frantic. And Nancy says, yeah, she said she didn't learn to walk until, like, later on. I forget exactly the age they said. But Steve talks about how, yeah, when he was a kid, he crawled backwards. And we have this nice little moment of character building and a nice little moment between these two characters, Nancy and Steve. He's like, oh, yeah, I used to crawl backwards all the time. But you know, now I've been crawling forward. He says, like, when I was a kid, I would push and crawl backwards to the point where I fell down some stairs and thump my head, and, you know, maybe that's what I need, just a thump on my head, you know. And I have to say, you know, a couple of years ago, you gave me the biggest thump on my head ever, and now I've been crawling forward ever since, really. And what I'm trying to say is, you know, in a weird, stupid way, is thank you. And she's like, thank me? Because she's been looking at him talking about, you know, how you gave me the biggest thump on my head, and she just kind of gives him this look. He's like, yeah, you know. He's like, 2 years ago, I needed it. Changed my life, and now I'm crawling forward. And it's just like, you know, like some other girl, if they give me a proper thump before we met, who knows, you know, maybe things would be different. I don't know, maybe part of me thinks, like, maybe we would have made it. And Nancy's like, Steve, he's like, remember that dream I told you about the Winnebago, seeing the country with those six little nuggets? It's all true, but I left out the most important part. You were there. You've always been there. Look, I'm going to say it right now. I want these two back together. Okay? There. I admit it. I know in real life, Charlie Heaton and Natalia Dyer are an actual couple. They've been a couple since 2016. So for 9 years, they're still together, which is nice. I love that. That's great. I love love. But in the Stranger Things world, this kid was taking photographs of her from the woods, right? Wasn't he in like Steve's backyard? And that was their meet cute, kind of, sort of, in a weird way. Now, yes, Steve, I suppose Steve overreacted. He definitely was a bully and a jerk for what Jonathan's been going through. And Jonathan's a wonderful big brother and a sweet kid. But Steve and Nancy are the ones. I'm going to make the bold proclamation that they're the ones who should be together. Damn it. But are they setting us up for heartbreak? Like, everyone talks about Steve not making it, but Nancy, she's the one who puts herself out there. Nancy is a born leader. Nancy is like a soldier at heart, it seems like. What if something happened to her in Stranger Things 5? Everyone's always, you know, focused on, something's going to happen to Will, or something's going to happen to Max, or something's going to happen to Steve. But, like, what about Nancy? I'm worried about her, and I wasn't 10 minutes ago. Now I am. I just wanted to say, as I was taking notes for this 10 minutes, I was like, you know what? These are the two that should be together. I'm sorry, Jonathan. I'm sorry. But these are the two. And you could see things were on the outs. Yes, he had to move to California. It was the right thing to do. But you could see things weren't long-distance relationships. In the 80s must have been really difficult. They were hard in the 90s. And when I say long distance, like, I was away from my wife for, you know, like 5 days a week when I was in college the first year. And I hated it. But we still talked on the phone every night. Now, mind you, it was kind of the same thing as these guys would have gone through. All we really had was the phone. There was email, but I don't think she had it yet. And I had to go to a computer lab and log into a system. I don't think I even had it yet. So, like, I think maybe my family had an email address. I don't know. But there was no easy way to correspond with each other except long distance expensive phone calls. And it's the same for Nancy and Jonathan. So I can imagine firsthand, I can know how hard it is. And yet at the same time, we would still see each other every weekend. So it wasn't as hard as what they had to go through. But here's the thing. I would come home from college every weekend. Here's the thing. She ended up going to the same college with me. We still came home every weekend. I don't know why. Now I'm thinking, man, we could have stayed up there and had the time of our lives and done whatever we wanted. But it's like, let's go home and see our family. I guess we love family. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. And you could see Steve loves the idea of having a big family. But I love the fact that he tells her right then and there, yeah, the family I've been dreaming of, you were part of it. And this wonderful moment, of course, is broken up by Robin letting them know, hey, guys, awesome news. It looks like we weren't going the wrong way. So she leads them out and Steve's like, Robin, slow down. She's all excited, but they head out of the woods and there it is, off in the distance, the Creel house. They look across the street and they see in the playground, they see a glowing light. So they know Erica is there. They know she's activated phase one. And I was thinking to myself, you know, the lights in the playground are letting them know, okay, they found him. Now the lights inside would let them know exactly where he is. But then I'm thinking, wait a second. No. They don't need to know where he is. They're in the upside down. They're actually going to see his crispy ass for the first time right when they walk in there. Like, they don't have to sense, is he around here? Like, oh no, there he is. Yikes. And the fact is, they have no idea what he looks like unless Max described him, which she must have. But that's all they're going on is Max's description. As they head over to the Creel house, we jump away for the last minutes of this 10 minutes. We go back to Russia where we spend the remainder of our time. We jump over to Hopper Murray and Joyce as they're driving back to the prison. They drive right back through the gate without any issues, without any guards. And they're like, maybe it'll be easier than we thought. But Murray's like, I don't know. I have a bad feeling about this. Quoting, of course, the great Han Solo. As they drive through, we go inside the guard room, the guard building, whatever you call it. And you can hear on the radio, you can hear screaming and gunfire and screaming. And shit is on in Kamchatka. They go right back. We jump over and they go right back to the sewer that they escaped previously. Joyce goes in, Murray goes in, and before Hopper goes in, he actually hears off, he looks and he notices off in the distance. He sees the muzzle flashes. He sees he hears the gunfire, and he knows, okay, things, at least they're not going blind into the prison. They know things are going crazy, as he still goes right down into the sewer, and they head off to try to kill the evil. We then jump back to Dmitry Antonov and Yuri. Antonov is watching Yuri just working on the chopper, and he finally can't stay quiet. He has to say something. So he's like, I have a question, and this is all in Russian. And Yuri's like, what if I don't want to answer? He's like, have you always been a coward? He's like, Yuri Ismailov is many things, you traitor, but he is no coward. He's like, oh yeah? Then why do you continue to stall? And he says, why do I owe these Americans nothing? Antonov then says, this isn't about American smuggler. They've warned us of a great evil in the world, an evil that does not rest, that does not respect borders. After it has consumed everything in their land, it will come for us, for our families, for our motherland. You saw it with your own eyes. You know it to be true. And yet you continue to play tricks. He starts walking away and then he says, I was told the peanut butter smuggler was once a great man before he lost his way to drink and cards, that he led his men to victory over the Chinese in Damansky. Is that true? And Yuri looks at him. He says, it is true. And Antonov is like, that hero, where is he now? Because I do not see him. He walks off and Yuri just kind of stares at him. And then he's kind of thinking about what he says. And I think he's second guessing his plan, because he reaches into his jacket and he takes out that part. I don't know, a spark plug or, you know, a job operator. He deliberately took out of the helicopter to stall, and he looks at it, second guessing, thinking, maybe I should help. Then we jump over to, oh, that is it. That is time. That's the end of the 10 minutes, which is bumping up right into where I need to start working. So I'm going to get this episode up in a little while. But let's see. What did we learn this 10 minutes? Well, we learned that a surfer boy in California can be easily bought with marijuana. And we see that they're using a freezer to create the tank for 11. And, you know, Argyle's using the oven to create pizza. We then know in the Upside Down that Eddie and Dustin are planning something at Eddie's trailer. They've kind of added armor and fortified the trailer, and now it has something to do with Eddie's awesome guitar. So I'm excited about that. And we see that Nancy, Robin, and Steve have made their way to the Creel house, but we got a nice little character building moment of Steve pretty much spilling his heart to Nancy without kind of directly saying it. But then they see what Erica set up outside in the playground, and so they know that things are about to pick up. We jump back to Russia, where things are about to pick up over at the prison, because Hopper, Murray, and Joyce are headed back in, but not before Hopper realizes, oh, there's something really bad happening right now. Well, we're on our way. And meanwhile, back at Yuri's camp, Antonov, I think, might have gotten through to Yuri, and Yuri might actually start fixing the helicopter to get our friends out when the time comes. And when will that time come? Well, it won't come right now, but we'll see. We'll be talking about the next 10 minutes of The Piggyback tonight. But until then, my friends, you can follow me on all the socials at Geek Mentality, except TikTok, which is Geek Mentality Mike. The Facebook page, of course, is Fans Not Experts. The YouTube channel is Fans Not Experts. That's because the website where all my podcasts are found is fansnotexperts.com. But if you just care about this show, go to StrangerDangerPodcast.com and follow Stranger Danger Podcast on Blue Sky and Stranger D Pod on the Twitter. That's it. I am done. I will see you tonight, my friends. But until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Stay stranger, my friends. And remember, it's people like you and people like me and even that guy over there, even him. It's people like all of us. We are the ones who help keep Stranger Things alive. And here I go with my morning voice. I'm going to try my best to keep Stranger Things alive forever.
Fans Not Experts.